You guys alive there? That's all right. Wow, it's been cold, huh? Wow, I think I just felt the first like Wisconsin like winter. It's freezing. It's freezing. All right. We're in the last sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and then we're going to launch right into the Missions Month in February. We have a couple guest speakers coming in, and I hope you guys are excited about that. If you have your Bibles with you, if you could all rise, if you're able, and turn with me, if you could all stand up, rise, and turn your Bibles or your smartphone or whatever, or it's going to be up there. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read, again, just two verses. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is God's word. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, we'll try it again. Okay, be seated. Please be seated. Let me pray for us and ask for God's help. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we have again read your truth. Your word is truth. I pray that you would once again help us, your children, not just believe in this miraculous truth, that impossible will be possible, not just hearers of your word, but doers of them by your mercy and grace. Help us now. Again, do immeasurably more than I could ever imagine or think by the power that is at work within us. Come now. Pierce our minds and our hearts. Only way you can do this. Please do not leave us to ourselves now. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us, I pray. And as Helen prayed, that we would behold Christ, we would behold more your glory, so that we might be changed forever. Make that miracle happen now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. The title of the message is A Great Reward in Heaven, which is verse 12. And let me just try to demonstrate for us what this means, okay? And if you understand this demonstration, I'm going to do it again with another example at the end as in conclusion. I think you would have understood what Jesus is saying in verse 12. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. My son, of course, my five-year-old son, Noah, he's been, you know, go stages of liking, you know, different kinds of toys and different kind of like TV shows. And lately he's been liking robots. Okay, and I forget, we bought this for him, or my mom, or my dad, or my sister bought this for him, but this is a pretty good robot, okay, I must say. This, I don't know how much it costs, maybe 40 or 50 bucks, it's pretty expensive. Pretty well made, it's called Tobot, okay, and he turns into like a, I think an ambulance or a fire truck or something, and then he turns into a literal fire truck, okay, small version, and they mix a little noise, okay? It's pretty cool, okay? And also, we actually recently, I don't know how long, maybe a few months ago, bought him this one, this toy. Okay. And this was from Happy Meal at McDonald's. It's really cheap. It's like, if you even compare, even hold it, it's, you can tell this is like a cheap free toy, okay? From McDonald's Happy Meal. Okay. And I remember asking him, he was playing with this one, okay? And I was like, man, no, I like, and I brought this one, like, which one do you like more? Tobot, okay? Which is like worth like 10 times more or 20 times more? Or this little bumblebee doesn't even transform, you know? Which one do you like more? And Noah goes, this one. Huh? How can you like this over this? This is more expensive, better made. You know, it will last longer probably than this one. Even just looking at it, you can tell the difference which one is better. Ask them again. No, which one do you like more? He's like, this one. And he gave me because he gave me a reason, but I forget what the reason was. We're often like that as Christians. When God offers us something spectacular, and yet every day, almost every day, you and I will settle for something like this. And that's, I think, what he's saying in this passage, this reward in heaven. You know, when you do a Bible study, you know, one of the best ways, when you do personal Bible study, even a group Bible study, the best way to actually try to get at the meaning or interpretation or exegesis, okay, take the meaning out, not pour the meaning in, is eisegesis. That's bad. Eiso is bad. Exegesis is what you should be doing. Bring out the meaning. Is ask questions. Okay, a good questions would help you understand a text, okay? And the question I asked here in verse 12 is, look at it. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Or even verse 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. What does he mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, persecution? What does he have in mind? Does he have in mind just like, remember, we're deathly afraid what others will think of me or think of you, right? In the youth, in the high school, they're just deathly scared to be labeled as a Christian, you know, to be labeled in a group, religious fanaticism, fanatics. We hate that. That's like death to us. I mean, that's persecution for us in the U.S. No one's going to behead us, right, for being a Christian or talking freely about the Christian values, right? But what does Jesus have in mind here when he says, rejoice and be glad, your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Look at what happened to almost all his disciples who identified themselves with Christianity, Jesus, and righteousness. Look what happened to them. Paul and Peter, both martyred 66 AD. By Emperor Nero. People say, history says, Paul was beheaded. Peter was requested to be crucified upside down because He did not feel worthy to be crucified and die in the same manner as his Lord. Andrew preached in Asia Minor and in Greece, and he said he had been crucified. Thomas was pierced with spears. Philip arrested and cruelly put to death. Matthew was stabbed to death. Bartholomew was martyred. James was stoned and clubbed to death. Simon the Zealot was killed, refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Matthias was burned to death, and the only one who hasn't really been sort of persecuted in that way was, you guys know, Apostle John. He was actually exiled to the island of Patmos, and he was exiled forever, and he died naturally there. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What happened to all the prophets? Remember who prophets were. They were spokesmen of God. Look at what that happened to them. Matthew 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who sent her. How often I want to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, as you were unwilling. So they killed all the prophets. That's the persecution, at least in Christ's mind, Jesus' mind. Not just saying bad things, reviling, or say things that are falsely. They were killing people. Paul the apostle killed, persecuted the Christians who ordered to kill Christians. I think that's the context. Even though they persecute you and put you to death, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. If they put you in prison, rejoice. Sing to the Lord. For righteousness' sake, for Christ's sake. Your reward is great in heaven. You know, when you read all the Beatitudes, look at that, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. And then talk about other stuff. And then at the verse 10, it talks about, again, kingdom of heaven. It's like sandwiched. Your reward is great in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? What is this reward? What is great reward? In heaven. You know, I used to think heaven was, I think I mentioned this before, I don't remember if you remember, but heaven, I thought, growing up as a Christian, early, you know, beginning Christian, I thought heaven was like eternal vacation. Like eternal honeymoon. You know, we went to Maui. I recommend if you, you know, young folks who get married, go to Maui. You know, especially if you like nature, it's beautiful. You know, it's really nice there, you know. And that's what I thought what heaven was. Heaven was flying through the clouds, smiling, you know. And as you fly through the clouds, you know, pick an apple and you know, the most delicious apple and you, whatever, you know. Or laying on the beach, you know, with the drink with the umbrella on it, you know. With a piece of pineapple or something, you know, just like sipping it. Just like eternal honeymoon vacation. A place of complete awesomeness. And the more I look at the Bible, that is not what heaven is. Heaven is not a place of eternal vacation. Heaven is, look at it, John chapter 7, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. John 17, verse 3. Let me read it for you. John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life. Another word for a life with God in the kingdom of heaven. This is what heaven is. Eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you get a sense of what heaven is? And I think Jonathan sang the last song kind of talking about that. Heaven, my friends, is God. When you go to heaven, there isn't this place, so-called. I mean, it is a place, okay? It's not imaginary. But when you go to this place, you will be captivated for all eternity. The God who is the source of all things. That's why Jesus came. Do you know why Jesus came? To save you from your dirt. What Christina will say, because you're a punk. You're a big punk. Yeah, I had like lunch with her and she was like, I'm a punk. I'm a big, you know, like a big sinner. Because you guys are punks, big punks. He came to save you from your sin. Your great sin, paid for your punishment, died the death you should die, so that you could be and live with God. God, to live with them forever. That's what heaven is. It's not mainly a place. That's why Jesus said, rejoice and be glad. Because if you get persecuted, if you died for righteousness' sake, follow Jesus, then you will get God. I'm not talking about, and now some of you guys, you smart people will say, Pastor Tim, what are you saying? Are you promoting suicide? Because if you commit suicide, you're dying and you're there. No! Doesn't say that. You're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be glad. You know what suicide is, Christian? I don't recommend it. No, Christians should not even think about suicide. Maybe you are. Suicide is, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. This pain is unbearable. And I have no hope. What a lie. That's a lie. You have no hope? So I'm going to end this pain. Not minimizing the pain. It's excruciating. I don't want to live another day. There's no hope. God can't help you. Because to him, that problem that you have is tiny compared to who he is. You might look big. God can. So no. I'm not saying commit suicide or just get into an accident so you could be in this place called heaven. Because God is there. But I think that's what he means here. Not suicide, but in this great reward in heaven is God himself that you get. God is a source of all things. You see, if you don't like God now, you know, when I think about the laying on the little, whatever, that beach chair with that drink, you know, you get that scene, right? I think that's pretty boring. after an hour or 2 hours, maybe a day or a week, that's just boring. Okay? No, but to be with God forever is going to take an eternity of days to even scratch the surface of how awesome this God is. He's the source of all things. It's from him and to him and through him are all things. To him be glory. That's what Jesus purchased for you. To have God. To be with God. To know God forever. God is holy. And what that means is God is God-centered. God is the most God-centered being in the universe. And he has to. The reason God has to be God-centered is because in him there is life and there's light. You know, if I told you, children of ACC, come to me. I have life and light. If anyone said that, that person is sick. Because that is not true. If I said that, I could not deliver on that promise. I just can't because I'm not God. But God can. He is life. He is light. He is the steadfast love of God. He is wisdom and power and faithfulness. God is life. I just read to you. This is eternal light, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you guys are anything don't know about science, scientists, even to this day, have no clue what life is. They have a hard time defining what life is. Go check your textbook. But the Bible tells us what life is. Life is experiencing God himself. And that's what heaven is. To the fullest. Right now, you experience God a little bit. Okay? Through the Word. The Spirit through the Word. The importance of the body of Christ. That's where you feel and experience a taste of God himself. But in heaven, you'll get that to the full, to the maximum. It's going to be an awesome place. God is life. Life does not consist in the stuff that you have or the status, what people might think of you. That's not what life is. Life is not how much possessions or accolades you have, Marquette students. All of us. Life is God. God is also light. For it is you who light my lamp, the Lord who guides, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. You know, light is information. It shows what's around us and what's going on. Actually, how God built you and I, okay, so that we could actually experience this physical world. He's a good God. And to enjoy this world, and remember who built this world, okay? The Father put a stamp on it. But you know who actually built it? It was Jesus who built it. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, in other places. It was the Son of God who actually did the dirty work in making this world and making you. And what this creator Jesus does is, as you, he made you, your eyes, everything, your senses, and through Christ, you're able to see and be aware of your surrounding. He tells you that is a lamp. You're not dreaming. You know who helps you with that information? Your information goes through Christ and goes through you, your eyes, and there. Christ makes that possible. Christ makes your existence and your surroundings of his truth possible. Your physical life, he's intimately involved in it. He's responsible for it. Your daily existence, your daily information you have, is Christ is giving you that information. And of course, not only he gives you light to experience this world and the truthfulness, Jesus is also light, and he gives you light of a spiritual reality, namely God. He brings light that he exists. Jesus gave you that light. You know why you believe in Christ? Something happened 2,000 years ago in history. Because Jesus has given you light. A spiritual light to see God. And you realize he absolutely exists like your existence. Maybe even more than your existence. Jesus is light. Light in this world and light in the spiritual world. And when that light happens, called faith, you know what happens to you? It happened to me. I thought I was the center of the universe. Everything revolved around me. I, me, was the king. And that just disappeared. I was not the center anymore. Light came in, and now God is the center. God made everything. I live in his world. That would change your life, wouldn't it? Before you're the center, and then all of a sudden you realize you're not the center anymore. God is. And he becomes the desire of your heart. There is true faith right there. There is. And yes, you sin and you go away from that center and you go into other desires and other idols in your life. But you know, and you have experienced it, it doesn't give you that same joy and satisfaction when you run to those, right? It doesn't. It just doesn't. You know, we have believed in a lie from Satan, that those things will give us joy more than the joy that you experienced when you became a Christian. Do you remember? There is the light. God is light. He is life. And God is also a steadfast love. You know, we English speakers have a problem with this word love, steadfast love, okay? The Hebrew word for love, or correctly, is steadfast love, is the word chesed, which means steadfast love. And in New Testament, there's three other words for love. You guys all know, right? Is the eros love, the love, erotic love. The phileo love, or where you have this brotherly love or sisterly love you extend. And then is the third word, the steadfast love, the hased, is the word for agape love. God is agape love, steadfast love. And you guys all know what that means, right? Only God alone gives that kind of love to his people. Both words, the hased, the steadfast love, and agape, means giving oneself to the point of doing without or suffering loss for someone else for the benefit of the other person. Let me say it one more time. The agape love is giving oneself to the point of doing without. You give so that you don't have. You suffer so that your brother or sister will have. That's what God did. Didn't he? That's the love. You suffer for the benefit of someone else. That's exactly what God did. He sent his son, his one and only son, whom he loved from all eternity. And from him he sent out, bore the sin that he would be separated from the Father. His one and only son. It is a love that a mother has for her infant, father has for his son. That's the great reward in heaven. It is God who is life, who is light, steadfast love, wisdom and power and faithfulness. That's my job as a pastor, that the sermon will always give the greatest treasure. Why would I withhold that? I'd be cruel if I withhold that. The Bible reveals the greatest treasure in the world, God himself. This God has given us his word, and this is about him. It's uncovering him. So you would know him. You would have him. Giving a taste of that. When I do a Bible study, I have to give you him. Because what the Bible is doing. Don't you want that? Don't you want that more than the riches of this world? Only if you saw how rich this God is, how valuable he is, how great that reward is that Christ purchased for you. That you got a taste of that. Wouldn't you forsake all other things for that? Wouldn't you? It'll be kind of ridiculous if we didn't do that, right? We want to be in touch with reality. And often, we do it. God help us. We will forsake the Bible, its greatest treasure, and we'll go into other lesser desires, remember? We'll go to this. Often, we'll choose this. Versus choosing something better. Well, maybe this example didn't really do it to you, okay? Do you guys remember watch The Hobbit trilogy? No Hobbit fans here? No Tolkien fan? Only one? Really? Guys all shy? Well, you should watch it. And the book is even better. And so, but anyway, at the third the third trilogy, the third movie, they finally the dwarf treasure in this castle. Okay, I love that scene, and of course the dragon is guarding the treasure there, the Erebor treasure. I love that scene, and if you like, one of you watched it, okay, and as the dwarves and the I forgot the name now. Was it not Frodo? Wait. What's his name? Bilbo. Bilbo stands in the middle of this treasure castle, okay? And the camera like goes way back and sees the massive treasure there. That all of this people in this world, I don't know how many people, billions, couldn't even spend in all eternity. It's just massive treasure. And over that scene kind of overwhelms you how much treasure there is there, you know, how deep it is. Well, that is God. To have God is like that, that deep treasure. That is the great reward. Rejoice and be glad. They persecuted the prophet who were before you because God is your great reward. Erebor, treasure. And so to encourage you, yes, go to all the Bible study who shows you God, the greatest treasure. Don't focus on the things in this world. Yes, you need some of the things in this world. The problem is you and I, we focus on it too much. More than God. I don't have to talk much about that because it is true for every single soul here. When you have God, you have everything. He's a source of all things. And when you focus on the things of this world, it is like my son. We are like ignorant children playing with useless and harmful toys that don't benefit you at all. Say that one more time. When you focus, when you love, when you desire on the things in this world, you are like ignorant children playing with useless and harmful toys that don't benefit you at all. God, however, is a currency of heaven that makes those who know him rich, rich beyond imagination. Let's pray.